Blog Talk Radio.
We're not here to talk about the sunshine. We're here to talk about the moon that was in the seventh house. Actually, I don't know if it was in the seventh house, but I'm sure it was in the seventh house for somebody. Hi, everyone. I'm Bonnie Albers on air, and it is astrology day, and we're mixing it up today. We have our famous astrologer. He is in the house. It's Ron Cole. And before I ask Ron to say hello, I need to just tell you what's happening the rest of the week. I'd like to put a big shout out to my co-host on Monday and Tuesday, Susan. I know she's having some issues today, and we all love you, Susan, and our prayers are with you, girlfriend. And today we have Ron Cole. I'm so sorry. Today we have Ron Cole and me in the house, and we're going to talk about astrology. It is going to be what is happening in the heavens in April, because every astrologist that I've talked to and I'm getting goosebumps all over, has been waiting for this month for a very long time, and we're going to tell you why soon. After Ron is our cool girl, Kelly. Kelly Coulter, she is reading our Atlantean birth and life card, and she will tell you what's going on in your present, this year, and future, if she can see it that far. She's a fabulous reader, and we love Kelly. I know she's in the house right now. And tomorrow, we have our mermaid heaventologist, Amy Cavanaugh, Kelly Coulter, and Peg Jones, who reads angel cards. All of them will be in the house for you tomorrow. They will all be doing readings. Now, I've got to catch you up on next week because I'm really super excited. Next week, Susan and I will be in the house on Monday. We're going to do the tarot reading, the Akashic Records, and, of course, you've got me. I'm your spirit communicator. But Tuesday, Susan and I are handing our show off to a great guy. I'm going to MC. I'm the host of this show. Susan's my co-host. But who we are sponsoring and we are showing is Alan Drew. He's a medium psychic detective from the UK. Oh, my goodness, his voice is so sexy. All of you girls are just going to faint. He is a super guy. He's, let me tell you what he does. He is a spirit medium. He also is a psychic detective. He does unique psychic detective work to clients all over the world. He has worked with Scotland Yard. He is a really neat guy. I talked to him personally, and you all are going to rock with him. So please get in line on Tuesday because he has his own show in the UK. He's been on many radio shows, and he will offer you fabulous insight readings. And he's clairaudient, clairsentient. He's got all the clairs. And then we go back to our regular shows. Thursday, I don't know if I told you what Thursday is, and please pardon me because we have not been well this week, any of us. Thursday, which is tomorrow, we've got our pet psychic intuitive in the house, Susan Schaff. And after Susan comes Leslie Journey. She's so fabulous. She's a psychic medium. She's with has her own business. And I love her. She's going to be doing readings, get in line. She does dates, names. She will tell you anything you want to know. Great lineup for tomorrow. Hi, Ron.
Well, hi, Bonnie. I've been fascinated listening to all these interesting people and their unique talents coming up.
I know. And wait, I didn't tell you what's coming up in May. And I know I'm just skipping around here, guys. But in May, Ron, we have a lady named Annabelle. She's Susan's cousin. She's the matriarch of her family. She's one of the she reads for the stars, and I'm talking other psychic stars, not just, you know, stars and movie stars. She reads for the psychics. She's coming in May. And then I have another animal organic communicator. She does Reiki on animals, and she's really cool, too. And her name is Heather. But, Ron, do you know who I have coming May 31st?
I'm ready to hear who.
I have Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. He's been on New York Times bestseller list. He's been on television. He's been on radio. I mean, and he's a lawyer. He still practices. And he is the neatest guy, and he has a book called Never Letting Go, Healing Grief from the Other Side. He's fabulous. Check him out. Go to his website, everyone, because you're going to want to get in that show, too. I'm so excited about all my guests and all my co-hosts, Ron. I just run off at the mouth, but, you know, I'm on medication that kind of dulls my senses because it's Sudafed because I'm sick again. But anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know to keep up, you know, with our shows. Go ahead, Ron. I'm so sorry.
I agree. I think that's an excellent thing you just said. Everyone should be just all excited about this line of people coming and all the different varieties that they're going to hear on your program.
Why, thank you, Ron, because you know my co-hosts rock. My co-hosts, and you know you're one of them, rock my house. But I always like to sponsor or feature somebody who's got other talents because I think it keeps our blood rolling. It keeps inspiration. It gives chances for everybody to see what's out there, and that's really why I do it. But let me tell everybody how to get a hold of you. Ron is our resident and famous astrologist. He reads for, I can't even tell you, his clientele, and I don't think he will either. But if you want to get a hold of Ron for a reading, it's livingastro@aol.com. He's fabulous. His readings go, oh, my goodness. He gets into such detail. If you want your astrology done, you want it done perfect, you want insight into this lifetime and where you came from, this is the man to do it. So, Ron, is there anything else I can tell them how to get a hold of you?
No, that's it. Yep. livingastro@aol.com, and that's the way they could email me. If by any chance you hear an echo, let me know, because you're coming through fine. But a moment ago when we were talking, I thought I heard an echo. Am I coming through clearly?
You're coming through clearly. I've got Kelly on the phone. Kelly, are you on?
I'm on. Can you hear me without the echo?
Yeah, I can. It's probably mine, Ron, because right now it's a brand new computer, until I can figure out how to use Skype on it, I have to have two computers sitting next to me. But I don't know. Since yesterday, they said there's an echo, and it might be with me. But anyway, I don't hear.
Yeah, I'm not hearing an echo.
Yeah, I don't hear. I don't hear. Okay. But you know what? Let's get started, because you know, Ron, I am so jazzed about what just happened yesterday.
Exactly.
Can I make one quick comment? We sat up for about an hour the other night when the lunar eclipse happened, and it's like, you know, the children, it was like, you know, we watched and watched. I mean, an hour out on the porch, Jeff, you know, it's like, I said, well, put your coats on, you know, because it's a little bit chilly. And it's like, they were going, Mom, it's moving so slow. But I said, yeah, just watch. I said, you see the differences. So we did. We tracked it. It's like we got out there about the time. It was just barely, almost all the way, you know, it had been like covered, so it was like it was black. And I mean, it was totally like eclipse. And then we got to watch it move all the way off the face of it. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, that
isn't that interesting?
Cool.
That is so fascinating to see that happen. It's one of the acts that happens just from our positioning here on the Earth and with our moon and sun. And it is just, you never get tired of seeing an eclipse. It's just breathtaking.
Yeah.
And the lunar eclipses are good because we can look at them. We don't have to worry about damaging our eyes like looking at a solar eclipse.
For the sun.
Very dangerous.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I'm so glad you saw it, Kelly.
Yeah,
yeah,
me
so
too. It was like very educational for everybody.
Oh, that's so cool. So why don't you explain, because I got up, and I'll tell you, my husband was, he got up and he looked at me and he goes, it's actually red. I think some people, when we say it's a blood moon, they're going, yeah, right, blood moon. You know, oh, I never saw a word of that. And I really believe that they didn't believe it was going to be red, because the astonishment on his face was like, it's red. Which is really cool.
You know, it wasn't red here, though. That's the really funny thing. It was not red out here. It was really white.
Wow. Well, because it was white about an hour later, Kelly, but you had to get up probably within four, maybe 40 minutes of it, because it was red here.
Oh, wow.
But then we're on the
–
yeah.
Darn.
I can't hear an echo.
And it was in different time zones, of course.
Yeah,
it was 3:47
right.
a.m. Eastern, and for you, Kelly, I think you're on Pacific time. Is that correct?
Actually, Mountain time. Ours was Mountain. Yeah, so
we were
out there about
1:47
one or 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah,
I stayed up to 4 o'clock in the morning to see the whole thing.
Woo!
Wow. Kelly, either pull your – I hate to say this, and I can't stand when people can hear this. Either pull your mic away from your face, or I'll mute you, because it sounds like somebody's breathing in their mic.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like. Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, I think that – yes. I'm not going to mute you, I promise. Don't you hate when people
no,
mute
you? I don't
anyway,
bother me if you mute me, Bonnie. I'm good.
No, I'm not going to mute you, Kelly, only if I can hear. Ron, can you tell us about what it meant and why all the astrologists were going crazy about this blood moon and what's going on in the heavens for April? Because I'm telling you, even like Michelle Knight, who's an astrologist from the UK, that's all she's been talking about. So please let us know, what is going on in April?
Well, the reason why a total lunar eclipse is nicknamed a blood moon is because the shadow of the Earth gets between the sun on one side of the Earth and the moon on the other, and the Earth's shadow moves across the face of the moon. And it occurs only at a full moon, And, of course, just before this eclipsing cycle started, you would have seen a totally bright white full moon, and then it would slowly, slowly, slowly have a shadow creep across it till it became totally covered. Now, red is the color that does not get blocked out. All other colors of the spectrum are blocked out by the Earth itself. Red bends, and it literally bends around the Earth and reflects back to the moon's surface. That's why it does have that reddish look to it. And it does have a blood red, red-orange type look to it. Interestingly enough, that's the first of four lunar eclipses, total lunar eclipses, that we're going to be having in the next year and a half. And when I mentioned this before, it is interesting when you realize that a total lunar eclipse is not a common event. It normally happens once a year or possibly once in a year and a half. And we are getting four of them in the next year and a half. Now, the one coming up is October the 8th, 2014. There will be a total lunar eclipse. Then the third one coming up will be April 4th, 2015, so it'll be a year from now. And then the final one will be September 28th, 2015. So here we go. We have a year and a half, and we have four complete total lunar eclipses. Now, the one we just had occurred at 25 degrees Libra, 16 minutes. And it's fascinating because I was watching the moon well before the eclipse started, and of course it's a normal bright full moon, and I saw Mars. If any of you were watching this eclipse and you notice a bright star just a few directives away from the moon, that was not a star, that was Mars. And if you notice, it was red also. And that was Mars, the red planet, and it's at its closest to the Earth in 6.5 to 7 years. It has not been that close in its approach. And that's why Mars is quite bright and quite red in the sky. In fact, its closest approach was on the 14th of April. And then the 15th, we had this eclipse. And the eclipse occurred right adjacent to or next to Mars. Now, when the moon was full, I could see Mars quite clearly, but you couldn't see anything else really near the moon until the eclipse actually went total. And then I could see a little star that was just below the eclipsed moon, which you could not see because the bright full moon, you know, did not allow your eye to catch that until the eclipse covered the moon. That star is Spica, and this is the point where the eclipse occurred. Spica is at 23 degrees Libra. The eclipse was at 25 Libra, so that's why Spica was really adjacent to and right in connection with this eclipse. It's a very major star in the sky, and it's considered by researchers and by ancient researchers the sweetest star in the heavens. In fact, that was its nickname. The ancient Arabic people were among the greatest researchers of stars and star energy. And the reason why they did that is planets will move through the signs of the zodiac, but the signs of the zodiac are made up of stars and star patterns. And as they move through different degrees of the zodiac, there will be stars fixed at various degrees. That's what we call them, fixed stars. And
well,
23 Libra is the fixed star Spica. Yes, Bonnie?
Do you know why? I know why it's sweet, because I kissed it.
You kissed it?
I kissed the star Spica and made it sweet.
Well, it's considered a star of fame, honor, success, and fortune. It's prominent in charts of people who are quite well off in life and who have qualities and talents. It sits right next to another star called Arcturus, and Arcturus is called the star of the artists. And that star has often been prominent in charts of people who have artistic talent in any field of the art. So that is kind of a nice spot of the heavens, so to speak, where this eclipse occurred, because it was activating or in adjacent energy to these two very positive stars. And from ancient times even to the present, these are considered among the nicest, most positive star placements. Now, people will say to me, well, how can a star have characteristics? All I can tell you is It seems that the energy that's being radiated by that star and the solar system that it has is a very benevolent, positive energy. And it is such a benevolent, positive energy that the star itself, no matter what distance we are from it, gives forth that benevolent, positive, sweet energy. And some stars are considered malevolent. So that means, I'm not going to give any right now because at the point there's a few that that happen that are considered negative stars. And that means those stars and the energy coming off of them and their solar system is of a negative energy or malevolent energy. And these are classified literally as fixed stars of the zodiac, and there are many, many, many of those. Well, we've got Mars near the Earth. We've got an eclipse going on next to Mars. We've got an eclipse occurring with a total, because a total is a rare eclipse, and that's just one of two eclipses this month. The next one coming up will be the 29th of this month, the 29th of April, and it's a solar eclipse, but it is not a total eclipse. I use this particular way of pronouncing this word so my students don't misunderstand it. I call it an annular eclipse. And the reason why I say that is the word spelling looks so similar to annual that many people look at it quickly and think that it means an annual eclipse, one that's going to be occurring, repeatedly all the time every year. And that's why I purposely make my students pronounce it as annular. And it's spelled A-N-N-U-L-A-R. And an annular eclipse means, in this case, the moon is far from the Earth, far enough that it cannot completely cover the entire face of the sun. Now, it is an eclipse. The moon, comes across the face of the sun between the Earth and the sun. But because it's at a greater distance, the little ring around the edge of the sun is still exposed. The sun doesn't become black or look as like a black hole in the sky by the transiting moon. So you've got this corona or ring going around it, and so it is not an eclipse that has that scary, suddenly the light goes out, the earth gets dark, and the sun's path of the umbra moves across the earth. It isn't a total like that. But it's still an eclipse, and it has an influence. Now, that one is going to be in Taurus, and as my memory serves me right, it's going to be at 8 degrees Taurus, 52 minutes. Now, a total eclipse is stronger than an annular or a partial eclipse or one of these other types. So the one we've actually just had is, in many ways, really the stronger of the two eclipses this month. And the one in October the 8th, that's going to be at 15 degrees Aries.
Does the moon that total lunar eclipse that just happened, was that with a stellium or a grand cross? Because the planet
that's coming up though, and that's not involving the moon, but it is other configurations that are occurring this month that are a little hairy, actually, if I can use that term.
Everybody, Ron, has been everybody has been feeling this effects of these energies since really the end of March. It's just crazy out there, as we say. And it's just, I know that they say that this month, and that's what I'm kind of wanting to ask, that this month is the month there's retrograde planets, there's other planets going from retrograde to regular grade or whatever. And they say that this is the month of learning, that you're paying back some karma or making up some karma. What do you see in this month? And go ahead and explain the sky.
Well, there is a very intense configuration this month, and it's called a cardinal cross. And this is a very rare configuration. Now, I also have been in pulse connection with other astrologers, reading their website entries or looking at their websites, seeing and hearing them on shows, especially radio shows, and hearing their comments. And astrologers all over the world, in all cultures, are very aware of this configuration because it is a powerful one and a very long-lasting one. It's a configuration of four planetary bodies all in stressful relationship to each other, all in what we call a hard aspect to each other. Now, I'll tell you how you can figure this out. If anyone's listening now that has a pen and a piece of paper in front of you, what I'd like to ask you to do is just draw a vertical line and make the line not really long, but somewhat long, just a vertical line. And then at the middle of that vertical line, draw a horizontal line and make the arms of the horizontal line crossing about the middle of the vertical, make them about equal length to the two arms of the vertical. So you actually will have a cross, a T-like cross, in which the upper arm, the lower arm, the left arm, and the right arm are of equal length. Now, here's what we're going to do. On the very top of the upper part of the cross, at the very top of the vertical line, write Pluto, 13 Capricorn. That's the planet Pluto, and it's at 13 Capricorn. Okay? On the extreme left line, that would be the end of the left line of the horizontal, write Uranus, 13 Aries. That's the planet Uranus at 13 Aries. At the very bottom of this cross, directly opposite Pluto, on the very lowest part, write Jupiter, 13
Yay!
Cancer. Jupiter,
Yay!
13 Cancer. Now, the final point on the extreme right, the right horizontal line, write Mars at 13 Libra. Mars at 13 Libra. And by doing that, you will actually have written in front of you this astrological configuration. This is called a cardinal cross because the signs are cardinal signs. Capricorn, Aries, Cancer, and Libra. Those four are called cardinal. And crosses can occur in fixed signs, which are four others, or mutable signs, four others still, or cardinal, and this is a cardinal cross. And these are involving slow-moving planets. Mars normally is not considered a slow-moving planet, but it's retrograding. It's backing up right now. So it's actually moving much slower in its backup motion, and it forms one of the arms of this cross. And notice it's an exact cross. These planets are all at 13, 13, 13, and 13. Now, I'm not saying that the number 13 makes it bad or evil, not that I'm saying that it is. It doesn't have to do with the 13 energy. It has to deal with the fact that this is an exact cardinal cross to the degree, the same degree, with four planets sitting in the sky at 13 degrees respectively and the cardinal signs all making a hard aspect to the other three planets. And this is rare because it is of these outer slow-moving planets like Pluto, Uranus, Jupiter, and the slower-moving Mars, and it's in effect for a long time. In fact, the cardinal cross started its effect on April 6th. When the astrological orb or energy between these planets began to form. And that's been going on like 10 days now. The exact
point. I know, I can feel it.
Well, the exact point where this cross is exactly like you've just written it down is April 22nd. April 22nd, okay. This will be the exact point where all four of these planets are sitting at 13 degrees in tough aspects to each other. Now, this will start toning down. This doesn't mean it's over, but it'll start toning down on May the 8th. But it is finally over on June the 4th. So it's actually in full effect to some extent from April 6th through June the 4th. This is a very long, long-lasting configuration and a very tough one. But the energy doesn't completely go away. Jupiter moves on, and that's the one that breaks out of this cross configuration. But the other three planets, Uranus, Pluto, and Mars, are still in a hard aspect to each other, and that's called a T square, like the letter T. And that means Mars will be opposite Uranus, and both Mars and Uranus will square Pluto. So that doesn't end until July 14th. So that means between April 6th and July 14th, we've got some kind of hard configuration going on in the sky, and it is not easy. But the worst is April 6th to June 4th. And we've just started this. This only began 10 days ago, and the cross hasn't completely become exact yet, which is, again, the 22nd of April. Now, why is this tough? First of all, the U.S. has their birth sun from the chart of 1776, when the U.S. Declaration of Independence was signed and the U.S. was born. The sun of the U.S. chart is at 13 degrees Cancer. And people may say, oh, that's great. That's where Jupiter is. We've got the lucky planet there. But Jupiter is highly afflicted, highly afflicted. And because of that, this could blow things up to larger and bigger and bigger and bigger heavy energies, because Jupiter is not necessarily going to be giving us goody things, because it's in tough aspect to Pluto, to Uranus, and to Mars. Now, another thing we should realize is, for the first time in all of U.S. history, that means from 1776 until now, 2014, the planet Pluto is sitting opposite the sun. That's why I kind of wanted people to write this down. Pluto is at 13 Capricorn. 13 Capricorn happens to sit directly opposite 13 Cancer. And the planet Pluto, in all 200, almost 40 years of our existence, not quite 40, but close, has never been in opposition to the U.S. sun. And it not only is happening now, it's also happening as part of this cardinal cross. And Pluto can be a very difficult planet to deal with, because it can deal with power struggles, it can deal with sneaky deals, it can deal with undercurrent energies, it can deal with making very poor governmental and rulership decisions, and it could deal or could be involved with very poor and very challenging decisions made by legislation and the legislative bodies. This is not a good or easy aspect. Now, to make matters even more challenging, Vladimir Putin, Russia's Putin, happens to be born with his sun, S-U-N, the sun in his chart, at 13 degrees Libra. His sun is exactly being activated by this cardinal cross, too. Not just only the U.S. birth sun, but Vladimir Putin's natal sun. And that's where Mars is sitting, 13 Libra. So not only is this cardinal cross forming in the sky, one of the arms of it is exactly on Putin's sun, and it's Mars. And Mars is a very militaristic and aggressive and can be a very impulsive and forceful planet when it's afflicted. And so it is afflicted. Well, first of all, let's say one thing. Putin's birth sun at 13 degrees Libra makes an exact square to the U.S. birth sun for the country at 13 Cancer. So there's not necessarily any love lost between Putin and the U.S., not only now, but pretty much a thing, because those two charts, his chart and the U.S. chart, have a hard direct affliction to each other. And
wow.
So people are saying to me, well, what does this mean about the Ukraine and his decisions about the Ukraine and military action and et cetera, et cetera? And I said, well, we're going to have to watch to see, because he is being activated by Mars, and Mars is not a planet that often uses rational thinking. It deals with aggressive, straightforward, take things on. After all, Mars was the god of war in ancient mythological times. So here, these are just two examples. This is just an example of the U.S. sun being drawn into this cardinal cross, and Putin and his sun being drawn into this cardinal cross. And there's example after example with countries around the world, people having planets at 13 degrees in their birth chart, and those planets are being drawn in. They have to be in cardinal signs. That's Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, or Aries. If they have,
do I have
13,
one?
They're going to be drawn in to this cardinal cross, and it lasts so long. I was listening to an astrologer within the week.
Within the week.
A very good astrologer. She has been studying and practicing astrology since 1968, and has been doing great research also throughout her whole life and career. And she just came right out in the show and she said, I have never in all these years of doing this study and work seen anything this intense, this concentrated, and this long-lasting. People will often say to me, well, what about it? I have a cardinal cross or a fixed cross or a mutable cross in my birth chart. But when you look at them, there's often a fast-moving planet as one of the points, like the moon or maybe Venus or something that moves very quickly. This doesn't have that. This has the slowest-moving planet of all, Pluto, and one of the slowest-moving planets, Uranus, and a very slow-moving planet, Jupiter, so slow it takes 12 years to go through the whole zodiac, and Mars, which normally is a fairly quick-moving planet, but it's retrograding, and as it's retrograding, it moves about half the speed it seemingly would move when it's not retrograding, so it's actually now being considered a slow-moving planet, and they stay in this fixed position. And that little point in the middle where the two lines meet, the vertical line and the horizontal line, that would be the Earth. That would be where we live. That's our planet. And as we look out into space around us, I know Pluto is way further away from the Earth than Mars. I understand that. And Uranus is much further away than Jupiter. But the point is, the angular relationship of how these planets all come together in connection to our own home base where we live, the Earth, is forming this intense cross. Now, crosses involve planets that oppose each other, which is a hard aspect. That puts those planets at great stress to each other. Uranus in Aries opposes Mars in Libra. Great stress between them. Pluto in Capricorn opposes Jupiter in Cancer. Great stress between them. And it doesn't end there. Jupiter afflicts Mars. Mars afflicts Pluto. Pluto afflicts Uranus. Uranus afflicts Jupiter. So it's not only planets sitting opposite each other that cause great stress across the zodiac from each other, it's also making hard, tense, tough, square astrology aspects to the planets either side of that planet. So if you look at Mars, it squares Pluto one way and it squares Jupiter the other. And that's even considered by astrological studies a worse aspect, a tougher aspect, the square, the 90-degree angle, than the opposition. So we've got a pretty tough kettle of fish here boiling up in the sky, and it is not going to come and go. It's not going to happen and be done in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And the period of time is, again, these dates that I've said, and I want to mention them again. This began on April 6th to really form its intensity. It's not going to be completely over till June the 4th. Now, people will say to me, well, that's when all this stuff will happen, between April and June, and then we're done with it. This kind of a configuration, folks, is so intense that it could have spin-off effects 1 year, 2 years from now in the future. And that's what often throws a lot of people off with astrology. They think when the aspect, the alignment is occurring in the sky, that's when you have the action from it. When the alignment is over, like after June 4th, you just wipe your brow and say, okay, we made it, and everything's going to be fine now. But this kind of a configuration with these slow-moving planets is going to have a ramification for the rest of 2014, 2015, and maybe as far as 2016 at different time events. This kind of an influence can last. And it's the same thing as an eclipse, everybody. When an eclipse occurs like we had yesterday, the total lunar eclipse, you have an influence from that eclipse in a person's chart for 6 months from the day that the eclipse starts. So if anybody has planets or a point around 25 degrees Libra, which is where the eclipse occurred yesterday, the total lunar eclipse, you will have that point influenced and activated for 6 months all the way till October 15th. So
Ron,
just starts it, and it will influence you 24 hours a day, day and night, month after month, until 6 months, half a year has passed. So this can also be the residual effect of intense aspects like cardinal crosses. The fascinating thing is Jupiter, one of the slow-moving planets, is the one to break up out of this cross aspect the first. It moves on and speeds on to the ending part of Cancer and eventually enters Leo. And the day that the T-square breaks up, the day that that's finally over, is the day that Jupiter is, July 14th, is the day Jupiter saying goodbye to Cancer and entering the sign of Leo, and it's definitely in there by July 15th. So then it'll be in Leo for about another year plus that. So,
well, you know what, Ron? I think all my planets are...
Let's take two of the planets in this cardinal cross. Uranus at 13 Aries and Pluto at 13 Capricorn. Now, that's called a square, a Uranus-Pluto square. That actually is going to go on seven times, and five times have already happened. Here's what I mean by that. From 2012 until 2016, the planets Pluto and Uranus will make an exact square seven different times. And the fifth square between them occurs on the date of this cardinal cross on April 22nd. So between 2012 and April 22nd, 2014, Pluto and Uranus have been to the same degree, exactly squaring each other five times now. And there's two more to go. And those will be a little longer spread apart. I mean, they won't be concentrated like in 2 years. So between today's date and the very ending of 2015 and the very, very, very beginning of 2016, we have two more squares between Uranus and Pluto before they finally break up and move across, move on their own way. So this is
why
is
that a hard angle?
Just with two of the points of the cardinal cross, and this is what has been causing so much turmoil in society, in people, in their energy fields. Uranus has a lot to deal with the auric field of a human being, the electrical field around them, and this has also had some good sides too. For example, whistleblowers coming out talking about things that the government is doing and working to spy on people and that. That's part of the revealing energy of the Uranus-Pluto square. But for the most part, this is a very tough aspect because it tends to show tremendous amount of developmental tension going on in the sky because Uranus is the planet that rules the New Age. It is the ruler of Aquarius, the sign of Aquarius. That's their planet, Uranus. So the whole new age that we are in, that we've just started, that we're journeying into, is connected to this planet, Uranus. And whenever you have a square from Pluto, you have energies that try to stop or block or hide. They do it in a stealth way, the advancement of the new age, to try to not as easy as just throwing a monkey wrench in the works, but even worse than that, they can try to do deliberate things to try to stop the advancement of the direction that we're going to. Now, they can only do that for so long, and this aspect will break up, and there will no longer be a Uranus-Pluto square. But this is a tremendously long aspect pattern to have seven exact squares between 2012 and 2016. And luckily, this is the fifth one. So we've had four already. The fifth one is now, this month, then two more. So there, it is on its way out, but it's still something to consider as being a heavy aspect. Bonnie, do you have any comments or anybody?
Yes.
Anybody?
No, I feel so, yes. Can you hear me, Ron?
Did I lose you? I can't hear anybody.
Okay, I can't hear anybody either. Wait a minute. Ron, hello? Why can't anybody hear me?
I'm sorry, if you're hearing me, I can't hear you. You've gone blank on me. I can only talk, but I can't hear one sound coming back to talk back to me.
Kelly? Hello?
Yes, I'm. Yes.
Kelly, nobody can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can anybody hear me?
Well,
I wonder, Ron, can you hear me?
Is maybe I've been cut off. The only thing I can do is please excuse if you are all hearing me. I will hang up.
Everybody,
and I will redial instantly and let me back in. Because if that's the
wait
case,
a minute. Okay, let me. I'm putting them back on.
I haven't heard anything from anyone for a while, and I've just been talking and talking away.
There he is.
So let me.
Yeah,
re-dial.
No, we've been hearing you. Okay. It's like we got you.
Yeah, I think he hung up. He's going to call back in, Kelly. I don't know. Talking. The whole thing is nobody heard me. I was talking to everyone because everyone in chat knows I can't keep my mouth shut. I was trying to talk, and I'm like, what? Nobody's answering me. So I've been fascinated about – I know. I have been so fascinated about what he was talking about. I was drawing my lines. I was doing all kinds. And I was saying, like, comments about how all my planets were in Mars and Jupiter and planets. And nobody's answering me.
Ron's back.
You're back. Ron,
I'm sorry.
Are you here?
I couldn't hear anyone. I was talking. And then I just said, does he have any questions? And I realized I didn't hear one sound from anybody. I might have been talking to the air.
We were hearing you just fine.
Well, how about me? You know what? Nobody was hearing me. You weren't hearing me, Ron, and I kept trying to break in and talk about. I know. Isn't that funny? What I was saying to you is I don't understand, and maybe, you know, first of all, I want to ask, we have some people on the phone. Do you, everybody out there that's on the phone, do you have questions about April's astrology? It can't be your own because Ron doesn't have your chart, but he is willing and wants to answer anything about general astrology. So if you're on the phone right now, I'm going to get to you, and he'll take your questions, but it's got to be about astrology. Although I do want to ask one question because we didn't get to that, Ron, since nobody cares what I said anyway because it was all about me. I just want to ask, what's going on with the eclipse at the end of the month is supposed to be a better eclipse than this lunar moon. So it's softer, but yet all the Grand Cross is involved in that.
Well, see, everyone thinks that a solar eclipse has to be more powerful than a lunar. Well, here's an example where it's not. The lunar eclipse is total, and a total eclipse is the strongest type of eclipse we can have. But the solar one is an annular in which the moon is indeed in front of the disk of the sun, but it's further from the Earth than it normally is, and as it's further from the Earth, it's smaller as we see it because of distance making it smaller. So it doesn't cover the full surface of the sun. So it is an eclipse, but it is considered the weaker of the two.
Okay, well, I'm going to take, we have a call.
And by the way, it's in Taurus, which is connected with finance, and the one that we had yesterday in Libra is connected with relationships.
I know. Well, listen, you know, if everybody was a little amorous yesterday, you'll know why, and then if somebody's bringing home the money, you'll know why at the end of the month. So I love that. I'm going to take 720. 720, do you have a general urology question for Ron?
Hi. Oh, no, actually, I didn't. Hi, guys.
Okay. Do you know anything about astrology?
I'm learning, actually, definitely learning and interested in it, and was listening because you guys gave a lot of good information today on the show as well.
Well, listen, I'm going to put you on hold because I have two other questions. Go ahead.
Okay. The reason why astrologers don't do readings is astrologers delineate rather than being psychic, and that's kind of confusing to people. A truly psychic, intuitive person, when a person calls, they immediately pick up on their energies and they start giving them a reading. Or if a person uses cards or another device, they immediately pick up on them and start doing a reading. But an astrologer has to have a calculated, mathematically set up chart in front of them before the show starts. That's why when I do these readings for people, I already a week or more in advance have the person's city of birth, date of birth, time of birth, and I have their chart calculated and it's sitting in front of me. And that's why when you hear astrologers on radio shows or TV shows, they don't do readings because they actually have to do it in a delineative way. They don't pick up on energies. They pick up on the chart.
Well, you know what, Ron, since we have a few minutes left, and I could ask a million questions because I do not understand an aspect in a 90-degree angle. So you have four 90-degree angles. Okay. But Pluto
an aspect means energy distance between planets, and they could be positive or they could be negative. They could be easy aspects or they could be stressful aspects. And this cardinal cross,
they're the
all stressful. Well,
yeah,
it depends on how far apart the aspect is. A 90-degree angle between one planet to another, like a 90-degree edge of a square, if you drew a perfect square and you went around the corner from one line to the next, you'd actually make a 90-degree distance. That is a hard aspect. That's the most challenging aspect of all. If you have points like from a triangle, if you drew a perfect equilateral triangle and curved around the point from one line to the other line, you'd be going 120 degrees distance. That's an aspect from that slight difference from 90 degrees to 120 degrees. You have a world of difference in energy. That's called a trine, and that's considered the best or easiest aspect of all. So when planets are at certain angles to each other, they can be in a stressful relationship or they can be in a harmonious relationship. And the harmonious brings out the best and brings out the flow and brings out the synthesis between the planets, and the stress brings out the challenge and the more difficult sides and the more difficult experiences from the planets. And by the way, when we're born, we all have squares and trines and sextiles and oppositions and conjunctions. We have these things in our birth chart between planets, and the only way we can know what all that means is to have a chart reading.
I think, listen, Ron, you don't have to convince me, because I think how many readings? I want readings every day. I'm like, I want to know what the best time to do anything is. And I get my yearly and I get my 6-month update. So I just feel like if I didn't, I'd be lost, because like for this year, I'm like, it's all about the, you know, Neptune and things in my chart that I love. I love all that mystery. I love all that very psychic ability and psychic things happening for me. And I love that. And I don't get a chance to say that really if I didn't have my chart done or my updates. So I rock with those updates, Ron.
Well, Bonnie, I do have to mention one thing. We're going to be living through this T-square and before it, the cardinal cross between now and July 14th. In the sky. We'll just live through it and go on with our lives. But there are children all over the world that will be born with it in their birth chart and have it for this entire incarnation as part of this life's experience. And
wow,
people will often say,
yeah, what does that mean?
Well, is that bad karma? Does that mean they were bad souls? Not necessarily. Many people jump to the conclusion that that means they have to really be working off a lot of heavy karma by having that. It could mean that, but it can also mean that that soul has taken on a great degree of stepping stones and personal directive challenge to make it become stronger, more empowered, and more intense and or intensely focused. So when you see tough configurations in people's charts, it does not mean that they did bad things in past lives and now they're paying for it. It can, but it usually will mean that the soul is taking on a certain amount of pretty intense, empowered, growing lessons.
I think that's so cool, because I got to say something, Ron, because I only said it and you didn't hear me, but every one of those planets are in Leo in my chart. So does that mean anything, like Neptune, Pluto, Venus? I think they're all in my house, my eighth house.
Well, one thing is Leo is not part of this cardinal cross. It's in a fixed sign category, so they won't directly be drawn in. However, the one good thing about Leo to realize is Jupiter, starting on July 15th officially, is going to be entering the sign of Leo, and it'll be spending 1 year in that sign. It slowly will move through it. It tends to spend a year, sometimes a year and a month, in a sign of the zodiac. And so as it enters on July 15th, it's going to stay in Leo until August 11th, 2015, and almost a year and a month, and then it's going to enter Virgo. So when Jupiter is going through an area of the zodiac, there tends to be an element of upliftment, expansion, movement, and sometimes even luck with that pattern. I hate to use the word luck because everyone assumes it's always going to be good, but it basically means power to grow, power to expand, power to think big, power to see beyond, power to go into new directions and new horizons. It also can be an affluent energy because Jupiter brings unlimited abundance. It can increase money. It can increase new ideas. It can increase seeing something and then seeing it from its highest, most grandiose positioning. So Jupiter has a very, actually I hate to use the word wonderful because it sounds like I'm being judgmental about planets, but Jupiter has a very wonderful, favorable energy to it. It even was so loved by the ancient peoples that they nicknamed it the Great Benefic, the greatest, most benevolent planet of all.
Wow. I love Jupiter because Jupiter means to me exactly luck, expansion. Of course, I've been warned by my astrologist that it also means weight. So this year I have gotten a membership to the gym, and I've been there every day except for the last 2 weeks when I haven't been feeling well, because it also means that. It's not just great. It's great. It also physically could come out in people also, right? When it goes through their
You are absolutely
chart.
Right. See, that's something we don't always think about. Jupiter's principle of expansion goes in all ways, and this can be expanding around the middle, expanding weight. So it is the planet of getting heavier, of being overweight, and even being obese. So there is a side of Jupiter that isn't always so sweet because it gives a tendency to take something and make it bigger and larger and bigger and larger.
Well, I am hoping, Ron, that it makes my pocketbook, my income, and my bank account larger and larger and larger and larger, because that would be nice.
It does have potential for all of that, because some of the wealthiest people ever, the millionaires or multimillionaires of this planet, have often had extremely powerfully placed Jupiters in their birth charts. And that was the reason for them to have gotten to the point of such wealth and abundance.
I think that rocks, Ron. I am just going to tell Kelly, I'm going to have to, I'm going to switch with Kelly, everyone. So come on if you want a life card reading. And Ron, just hold on before I say goodbye to you. I'm not going to be here because right now it's hard. I can hardly breathe and talk. So I don't want that to affect anybody's reading. And I am going to, Kelly, you're on, right?
I'm on.
All right, what I'm going
to
do.
I'm trying to think, maybe if you play a song here really quick, it's like, yeah, you're going to have to hang up, and then I'm going to have to call back in. So, yeah, don't go away.
once you call in, I'm going to play a song, actually, and when I see that you picked up as host, then I'll go. Everyone, I have a client. I'm so excited. I also have I'm also a therapist, you all know, and I love the radio. I rock the radio. I would do this 24/7, but I've got a few clients I've got to take care of, and one, they're all coming back from college. It must be spring break. So a lot of mine are college students, and I am going off to a client's house, and I appreciate you all understanding, and Kelly taking her show, and I will rock with you either tomorrow or next Monday. Hopefully, I'll be able to swallow and talk when I come back on. I'm telling you, Kelly and Ron, last 2 weeks, I've had shingles, I've had the virus, and now I feel like I can't talk, but I love the radio, and you'll always hear me here. Just please all, what I ask is that you just understand if I'm blowing my nose or sucking on a lifesaver. So I want to thank everybody. I'm going to hand the reins over to Kelly. Ron, you rock as usual. I love you. And next week we will have a chart for you to do. And this week I just wanted to talk about what was happening in April because, I mean, so many people are into this grand cross and the blood moon. I just wanted everybody to know basically what it was. And I hope everybody out there understood. You can play this back in archives. And Ron, we could probably talk about this for the next 5 days, don't you think?
Oh, it is possible. And don't forget, Mars is at its closest to the Earth in almost 7 years, and even that is pretty fiery, intense, and volatile.
I know. Well, Ron, I'm going to start the music so Kelly can turn around and become the host. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ron. You know you rock the house, and I will see you here again next Wednesday for some cool astrology. Thank you, everybody,
Bonnie.
And just Thank you so much. If everyone will just hold on, we're just going to make a couple of adjustments, and we'll be right back.
And, Ron, I do have somebody for you. So I thought I had emailed that to you, but I must have missed that. All right.
All right. Ron, we'll talk to you next Wednesday, but we'll get in touch with you before then, okay?
Thank you, and goodbye, everyone.
Thank you,
bye.
Ron. Bye.
Okay, well, that was kind of interesting. It shows the song is still going, but we lost sound on the song, so I'm hoping we didn't lose sound on anything else here. All right. Well, welcome to part two of our show here today, and I'm going to give a shout-out. Thank you, guys, for being in chat. You know, we love you guys, and our callers make our show. hang in there. I've only got 3 callers, so this will be nice. I'll be able to actually spend some time with each of you guys. Just so you know, it's like I have area code 415-720 and 631. So if you guys will hang in and hang on, I will get to everybody today, and hopefully without having to talk quite so fast. So that should make everybody happier. And if I can get the, let's see here, get this so it's not quite so. There we go. Static here, something. All right. Messing with the phone here, with the mic on the phone, because it seems to magnify me overly much, so I don't want to come across as a heavy breather on the phone. So anyway, let's see how this works. The other caveat, guys, is I got kicked out of the chat room today. So, you know, apparently everybody is fair game. So, you know, if it can kick out the co-host, you know, they can kick out everybody. So just so you know, if it kicks you out, come back in. If it logs you off or drops you off of the queue, call back in, because, you know, we don't kick anybody out or log anybody off. You know, it's like we've never had to do that. So, yeah, blog is still having their whatever issues they're having. So, yeah, everybody's laughing. Sure, laugh it up, you guys. All righty. Oh, goodness. All righty. Let's start with area code 415. Hello, and how are you doing today?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you're live on air.
Sorry. Hi. I didn't know if you could hear me. I had to switch from speakerphone to phone. So I did catch you shortly on another show, and I was very fascinated. I think you do cardmacy, something like that, where
it's cards of the Magi or Destiny cards or Atlantean cards. You know, they go by a lot of different names. So whatever you want to call them, it's our poker deck.
Yeah, there you go, the poker deck. And I know that I'm the Queen of Diamonds. So I don't know.
Okay. What is it? All you have to do then is tell me the month you were born here.
January 15th.
January. Okay, I was going to see. I could, because there's only one Queen of Diamonds in January, so I could have. Okay, cool. All right, and you're a 7 of Clubs also with a planetary ruler there. So did you have a question in specific, or, did you just want to?
Yeah, let's go with love, romance, love. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, the other thing I need is your current age.
Okay, so I'm 62 now.
62, oh my goodness, you don't sound 62. Holy moly, you are taking those youth pills, I can tell.
Thank you.
Either that or you found that book. It's by Peter Kelder, K-E-L-D-A-R. It's called The Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth, and it's about a 90-page book, but it's got 5 exercises in it that if you do them, not only does it, it like recalibrates, you know, your chakras and that kind of stuff, and they're deceptively simple, and they'll tell you when you start doing them, it's like, you know, only 5 of them. You start out with doing 3 repetitions of each of them, because what it's designed to do is balance and get your chakras like back in alignment with each other, because they say that's why we age, is it's like a Swiss, you know, where our chakras are kind of like, you know, a Swiss watch, you know, the cogs, and they get out of balance through our lives. So if you do these exercises, it keeps all of them spinning at the right speed with each other, and it literally will turn the clock back. I mean, the whole little story there is about this gentleman. They renamed him Colonel Bradford to protect the innocent or whatever. But it talked about he was a retired British Air Force officer, and the guy, Peter Kelder, met him. The book was written back in 1939, but he met the guy when Colonel Bradford when he was like 62 or something like that, and then he disappeared. He told him he was going to go off to Tibet, and he was going to study in a monastery and, you know, this and that and the other. And he said, but I'll be back when I find the secret of youth. So, you know, he thought, yeah, sure, you know, never see him again. Well, about 12 years later, I mean, this is, like I say, this part of the story, there's this call, you know, he gets a call and he says, oh, this is Colonel Bradford, you know, can I come by tomorrow? So he's like, oh, yeah, sure. So about the time he was expecting him, the door, you know, doorbell ding-dongs, and this guy's on the doorstep, and he doesn't recognize him. And, you know, he's the guy's kind of standing there, and the guy, you know, Peter's standing there going, can I help you? You know, and this guy looks at him and says, you know, Peter, don't you recognize me in English, okay? So he looks at him and he goes, Colonel Bradford? You know, and he goes, this was not the, you know, sallow-cheeked, gray-haired, stooped figure, blah, blah, blah. It's like, this guy looked like he was 45. So they started this whole thing called the Himalaya Club or something like that over, it was in England, and they invited, oh, man, people from all walks of life, and they had to be over 50, you know, because they wanted to see results and how it would do, and they did this thing for like 10 weeks, and then they were putting, you know, numbers in a hat, you know, just to figure, you know, people were trying to guess how old Colonel Bradford was, and when he came in, it was like he was a little bit late, and he said, well, you guys, you know, what are you all doing, you know, oh, we're putting numbers in a hat to see how old you are, you know, so everybody guessed him in his 40s, and he said, well, thank you very much, on my next birthday, I'm going to be, I think it was 74, 75, but it's...
Wow.
So
that's amazing. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because when I go see my doctor the last, like, 3-4 times, she keeps saying, I look at your birthday and I look at you and I can't put it together.
Together.
She goes, you know, something. And I said, well, I didn't tell her this, but I, when I was young, I always said, you know, spirit doesn't age, right? So spirit doesn't age.
Oh, my goodness. You're right. It
and spirit doesn't have an age, really. And so, you know, we all get caught in the trap. But that's something that I've always just say to myself, you know, to not kind of get in
that
trap.
That's the best. That's better than the Joel Steen I am, man. It's like I am spirit and spirit doesn't age. I'm going to add that one. I love it.
And it wasn't until, like, my 60th birthday I said, you know what, it's time for me to get away from just using oatmeal soap. I think I'm going to invest in my skin a little bit.
Heck no, oatmeal soap, good for you. What are you talking about?
It is. It is. Oh, but it just, it was time to start using moisturizer.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
right,
just
when right.
My skin started to feel a little drier, and that was about it. But
gotcha.
Spirit doesn't age, and we are spirit. So
right. Yeah.
And we need our body to know that, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I
that it doesn't feel like it's this.
I really like that.
You know, and then if we carry all our problems around, then I think when we start, you know, getting in these sagas of problems, then that can make us feel heavy and age us.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and the other part was I read some of
the... So laughter is good. Laughing is good.
It is. Yeah, laughter is a good medicine, absolutely. You know, yeah, Mary Hart doth well as a healer.
I like that.
He said part of that is our expectation. He said Westerners expect to get old, and it's like, oh, we got to, you know, I mean, and I see this around here where we're currently at because we're in what I call Farmville, USA, out in Idaho. People expect to get old, and people, like, in their 40s. I mean, people, you know, like 10 years, 15 years younger than me, you look at them, and I mean, I look at them and go, oh, my goodness, it's like that person's, like, old, you know, but it's their mindset. And my mom always said this. She said, you're only as old as you think you are. And she was young until she died at 86, you know. So anyway.
Well, good for her. Yeah. Isn't she an inspiration?
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly.
That's wonderful.
It is. Let me give you, what I'm going to do is give you the planets here for the dates, because this day is consistent. This will be your personal year like every year. It's like each of the planets spend, like, they did numerical. I mean, this is all like a numbers value assignment. It's like mathematical. So what they did was they assigned each planet 52 days in your, you know, in your, from your personal year. And it's just so coincidental, you know, that we have 52 cards in the deck and 52 weeks in a year, and in each of these, you know, planets, they spend 52 days, and it just comes out just amazingly right. So anyway, with that in mind, your Mercury frame, yeah, I know, started at your birthday, and it goes until, Mercury goes until March 7th, and then Venus starts March 8th, and it goes up until April 28th. So actually, you're still in your Venus time right now. Your Mars time starts April 29th, and it'll go into June. Jupiter starts June 20th, and it goes into August. Saturn starts August 11th, and it goes into October. The Uranian time frame starts October 2nd, goes into November. Then Neptune starts November 23rd, just in time for Thanksgiving, and goes back to the end of the year. So that's your whole year, and that's what it's based on, like each and every year. So now, with that being onset and whatever, let's go see what your individual cards are for this particular year, because they have like a bunch of tables, and all these have been, you know, like I say, mathematically worked out. Thank God I don't have to remember all these. Okay, and you just 62, is that right? Man, I still
yeah.
getting my head going. Wow, okay. So for this year, amazingly enough, you've got a Nine of Spades as your long-range card. What I'm going to do here really quick so you can go back in archives and, like, you know, get these and write these down, I'll go through what all the cards are for the whole year, and then we'll just go back and talk about some of them. Now, the Mercury time frame has already passed, but it's like what I call a watercolor wash. It's like they kind of influence, you know, to a gentler degree if anything comes up, you know, in this area for the whole year. Things will kind of happen along a certain way. But the cards that are directly in the planetary time period that, you know, that you're currently in, they have the most say, I guess. And then the long-range cards, there's five of the year-long cards that will kind of, you know, overshadow like your whole year. So this is always about, you know, juggling and checks and balances. You know, this is happening. So you have a Two of Clubs and a Queen of Clubs in the Mercury time frame. That's what's already passed. You've got in Venus, you have a Four of Diamonds and a Seven of Diamonds, which is really good. Mars, which is dealing with men. Venus is dealing with women's and women's issues in the home. Mars, you have a Nine of Clubs and an Ace of Clubs. Jupiter, as Ron just told us, the great expander, including your waistline, is like going, now that makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Ron. Yeah. Expansion on Jupiter is like, yes, we all need to go to the gym like Bonnie's doing. But that's a Jack of Clubs and a Nine of Spades. Now, that's the second Nine of Spades you got. So you've got some things that are going to be transitioning and, you know, some doors closing and some other doors opening. Okay, you're going to have a lot of this going on.
Okay.
If we go to Saturn, in Saturn you've got a Jack of Diamonds, and you've got the Magi card. You've got the Ace of Spades there, which is you're going to have some kind of major transition or, you know, reformation. I always look at that as like the Phoenix card. The Uranian time frame, you have a Two of Diamonds and a Six of Spades, and then the Six of Spades is repeated in Neptune. For the long-range cards, you have a long-range, like I say, that's a Nine of Spades. That's going to be a lot of, I'll say, probably things closing. You know, tying loose ends up, that kind of stuff, that's going to be like a major theme. I'll go back and talk about that a little bit. Pluto and result pairs are read as a pair. You've got the Three of Hearts and the Eight of Hearts. Usually the Pluto is a challenge card. It's like it's the card that you have set as your challenge for this year. And because it's three, it's very highly creative, and it's in, you know, love and relationships, you might find yourself, you know, dating two or three guys this year or something along that line. But the ultimate result of it is, with the eight, it's like you're going to have the emotional power to get the person that you want, literally, okay?
Okay.
Which is really interesting that's exactly the question that you have. So I'm going, well, that should be
get the guy you want. I like that.
Well, there's caveats with it. With eight, you always have to be aware of your personal power, because you don't want to steamroller over people, because that will bring, you know, the hand of karma down upon you. So it's like, yeah, you're
not my nature.
Yeah, when you're building power, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. The environment card, you have a Two of Diamonds, and then the displacement card, you have a Four of Spades. So let's look a little bit. I'm really interested in, particularly, I'm interested in that Ace of Spades, because that's in your Saturn time frame, and anything in Saturn is always, you know, usually karmic, destined, you know, that kind of stuff. It's things happening that, you know, you kind of go, oh, my goodness, what is going on? So your two Saturn cards, let's see. Okay, that's the Jack. The Jack is first. It's the direct card. And it's, you know, kind of like sometimes the underlying issue or the internal issue, if you will. And then the Ace itself is the one that has how it manifests. It can represent, this Jack can represent a business person, you know, businessman or associate with whom you have either obligations or problems. It can be a karmic relationship. It requires hard work and patience for success. It's necessary to regulate and balance your affairs at this time. Creative projects to make money might seem burdensome, but it's a necessary part of establishing yourself and your future success, especially since spirit doesn't age, and you might be one of those people that's, you know, because they talked about, I can't remember, it was in one of those books, you know, this guy, one of the Tibetan guides they had, and I'm trying to think it was, Oh, you know what? It was Michael Talbot in the Holographic Universe, I think, that was talking about that, because he said that there was this Tibetan guide that claimed he was like 500 years old, and he says, well, you should meet my mother. She's 700. And they were like, they were incredulous. They're going, really? It's like, how can that be? Well, they traced it back. They talked to her. And she said, oh, yes. It's like, you know, the dynasties that have, you know, I was born in this dynasty and this and this and this. And so they got to looking in their history books, and I went, well, dingy dangy. It's like, you know, that was 700 years ago. It's like, how old is this woman? How old is this guy? You know, and part of it is mineralization of their water. I know it sounds really weird, but they have a different type of diet in Tibet than we do, and actually it talks about that, and I'm totally off base there again. I'm so fascinated with that, golly. Okay, so anyway, let's see here. Create projects, okay. But it's, you know, it's a necessary part of establishing yourself and future success. You know, you're going to have success now, but you need to work hard. You know, you got to work hard for your money. Mm-hmm. Be on the lookout for men in the diamond suit, especially those who are younger who might be approaching you from either a romantic or creative point of view. They could prove burdensome in some way during this, this time period. So mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be nice if, you know, if you could go, are you a diamonds person? You know? It's like, I don't know. It's like, what's your birthday? Let me find out.
The man I'm interested in is a queen of hearts.
Queen of hearts. Now, she doesn't show up this year for you.
Okay.
Like I say, what is showing up though is you've got the three of hearts and you've got the eight of hearts as your Pluto in result pair. And then in the Venus time frame, you've got two of the finance cards. You've got financial stability, and you've also got the seven of diamonds, which it can be about having faith. You know, your finances are going to be okay. You know, that kind of stuff. But it's also on a deeper level, the diamonds are about your values. And it's about, what you value in life, or, you know, things that you're finding are like, or, you know, in, since it's in Venus, it might be, you know, what is really important to you in terms of values. Here we go. Hang on. I'm going to get to this ace in the Saturn period because it could hold some kind of concealed trouble, like either disease or illness or yours or someone else's, perhaps, you know, a secret kept from you. Something hidden could be hindering you. But it's a good influence for healers and physicians. It can bring recovery from illness or some kind of reversal in your health picture. A desire to uncover underlying issues, causes of illness could lead to your recovery or that of someone else's. See, it doesn't always have to be, you know, I mean, a lot of times it's about you, but sometimes when the ace shows up, it can be about even your pet. You know, it's like, it can be about your pet or your, you know, Aunt Sophie or, you know, Uncle Jack or, you know, whoever. I mean, it can be about the people around you. As much as the Ace of Spades means a beginning, it can also be an ending. It's the card of transformation, and transformation literally means the death of the old and the beginning of the new. So if there are parts of yourself or your lifestyle that are due, you know, like for an overhaul, if you will, it's probably the type that's going to happen. Okay, so, you know, the other Saturn card tells us more about that, which is that Jack of Diamonds. So it's like, you know, could be somebody, you know, creative, you know, coming in this and that. Okay, so let's look at where you're at right now, because you still are in the Venusian time. And just a little more on that 4 and the 7 here, and if they have anything specific. It does say you're likely to have money to spend on luxury items to beautify your home, yourself, you know, clothing, something like that. Or you can associate yourself with successful people of financial means. You can make money in a business related to home, clothing, artistic things, beauty products, as well as have financial success with, with women, you know, in ventures. Generally indicates contentment in financial matters. And it's such a powerful and stabilizing influence as a card. It's going to produce good results, even if the other card is of challenge or adversity. And they've said three times, eBay, eBay, eBay. It's like, okay, fine, what on eBay? It's like, I don't know if you're eBaying, but it's like, apparently if you're not, you could be.
Okay.
Sometimes those things come as like, okay, I don't know what, guys. Anyway, if that has any meaning for you, good. If not, you know, you can tell them to go blow their nose. Anyway, the seven of diamonds in Venus could be spending money either on friends, you know, lovers, or, you know, whatever, relatives, you know, nieces, whatever. A lot of money could be spent on luxury items or close friends. You could be feeling extravagant. But it could be masking emotional insecurity, you know, desire to be loved. However, now there's the love part, okay. But your true fears will be exposed. You're going to have to deal with inner feelings of insecurity either about money and or love. Okay. Practice appreciation and affirmations to fill that inner void. So this would be, since it's about, you know, loving questions, that kind of stuff, just as you're going, you know, spirit is ageless, you know, and spirit never ages, that kind of stuff, you go, okay, so how about, you know, spirit is going to bring me this other person who is, you know, my soulmate, my flame, my, you know, whatever label you want to slap on that, who, you know, the person who is right for me. And it's like, and I do know part of it. Part of it is, I'm trying to think, where in the heck we heard that? Oh, yeah, it was, that was in, have you heard or seen The Secret by Rhonda Byrne?
I totally know the principles, because they're using principles that have been around since, you know,
thousands
forever.
Years, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shelma brought that up.
Yeah.
The one I'm thinking of is that gal, it's Marie Diamond, and it's like, I think it's Marie Diamond, anyway, but she's the feng shui lady in there, and she's the one that talks about, you know, this gal that wanted, you know, a relationship. And literally what she did was she went to her own house, and it's like, you know, she took a look around and went, okay, well, if I was going to have a relationship, where would this guy fit in? So she literally took half her closets and made them empty. It's like she made, okay, if this person comes, it's like, here he goes, you know, he's got space in his closet. And she created space in her house for a second person to come in, even to cleaning out the garage. She had a two-car garage, and it's like, you know, how those fill up. It's like, but she made a space for her car, and then she cleaned out all the stuff, and she made a space for his car to be. And literally, in about 6 months, it's like, you know, they saw her again. It was like, oh, you know, she's driving. Here's the guy in the front seat. Now, she's driving, you know, granted, he's in the passenger seat, but, you know, in her car. And it's like, oh, and she says, yeah, this is my person, you know, la, la, la.
Well, I wouldn't even be in this place when I have a man, because I would need a bigger place. I mean, I think it's a great idea she did that, but I'm going to be in a totally different space, because I want it to be different. I want hardwood floors. I just wanted all hardwood floors, totally different. So right now I have tile and carpet. I want all hardwood floors. I want more spaces. I want a bigger view. So it'll be totally different.
Well, we'll see. Let's see if you have any of those. See, now that may be where that transformation card is coming in, that Ace of Spades, you know, with, like, you know, dying to one part of life to, you know, be another. But now here's, you know, your next part's there. It's like, okay, you've got, like I said, you've got three nines this year. You've got the nine of clubs, and you've got the nine of spades twice, once as a long range and then once as a Jupiter. So it's literally tying up loose ends. So if you're having the, you know, the impulse to say, you know, I'd like a relationship, and it's like, and I want this kind of a place, it's like, now is the time and space and place to be, you know, looking to move and say, find the place that you want, find the place that you're visualizing or envisioning, and get there. And it's like, and when you get the space and the place that you want to be, it's like, that's likely when that person's going to come in. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's interesting. I think it would be kind of simultaneous, or one first and then the other. I don't know. Yeah, it's a big endeavor. I love my place. I'm very cozy, but believe me, I definitely could see changes. It's not that I don't love my place. There's a lot that I love about it. So many people come and say, it's so cute, we're so jealous, but I'm ready for something
it's
different.
So cool if you tell me.
Yeah, I'm ready for something different. So I went to my girlfriend, she just bought a place, and it's exactly the kind of place. I go, it gave me a wonderful feel of the space that I want to be in, but bigger.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, she bought a gorgeous, gorgeous condo. It's absolutely stunning.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. Well, there you go. So, yeah, but see, and part of that is that I'm not quite willing to give up this yet, you know, because you do. I mean, you know, you can tell. It's like, I love my space. I love my place. It's like, okay, I'm not quite willing to move out of that yet. So the thing might be is, like, you know, I mean, the place that you have, it's like, would somebody fit in there? Could you make it a cozy place for two? You know, tea for two and two for tea.
I guess I could get some big pieces of furniture, but there's no closet space for another. I can't take my clothes out. I don't even have enough space for my clothes as it is. So it's like, I don't have a room for anybody else's clothes in here, just my own. So I'd have to get an armoire or something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to see this. I'm looking in the nine of spades here, and it's like, I want to see this because it's your long-range card. the Nine of Nines. It's the strongest indicator of the year of important endings for you. Whether you, you know, could end a line of work you've been doing for a long time or continuing, you know, health problems, you know, the spades always deal with the health stuff, you know, in career. Or something
okay.
that's going to cause you to make major changes in your lifestyle or habits. Nine
yes.
of spades is not associated with work and health problems or disappointments, but it's only if we're unwilling, here's the big deal, unwilling to let go of the people, jobs, habits that are ending for us. It's a year of major
yeah,
completion.
Yeah, I do think I am in a change, big change coming up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would, yeah,
I
would
I
say
see that.
Yeah.
And I'm not resistant, so that's fine.
Right. Right.
Everything's
but
led
yeah,
up
it
to
say,
it. Every, you know, everything's led up to it,
right.
so I'm definitely, definitely
in
not going to resist it. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right. Well, whatever you are doing when this year began, likely is going to be, you know, finished or completed by the time of your next birthday. There could be, you know, someone you know or conditions that are ultimately, you know, going to affect your lifestyle in an important way. It's a strong indicator of spiritual work and could indicate a lot of success in that area for you. You know, success applying
mm-hmm.
universal principles, you know, is the key. And I must say, you're pretty that's out of no place. So it's like you're pretty highly intuitive yourself, so it's like, you know, you always know. It's like follow your intuition.
Yes.
Can you letting go of things passing away and broadening your life's goals to include some kind of humanitarian work? It'll help you realize the success potential of that powerful card. Now, this one does have one of those keyword things, which is, you know, things you write down and stick on the bathroom mirror. It's
mm-hmm.
a year of major endings and completions in your life. They can be related to health problems or deaths in the family. You know, can be. But again, it could be that
mm-hmm.
spiritual work and indicating, you know, a lot of success in spiritual matters with
mm-hmm.
you. Let's see here. I'm just going to look at the other one. Another one was in, oh, the other one, the other nine is in Jupiter. Okay, there we go. And again, this is, you know, in the Jupiter time frame, it's like whatever that was. I think it's a couple months in. It's like June or July, something like that. You can experience a major completion, again, ending a, you know, ending line of work or livelihood or whatever. It'll some way affect your basic lifestyle in an important way. It just seems as though you've been doing certain occupation or, you know, something for a long time. It's time to move on to something new. And again, don't resist the endings. You know, they're positively leading you to a new, more exciting, more prosperous future. So, you know, even if you get fired, it's going to lead to something much better, okay?
Okay.
You're protected by Jupiter's blessings, and all you need to do is just, you know, take a close look at your situation, realize, you know, the good in what's happening, look for, you know, silver lining in the cloud. And in truth, it was your desire to have this happen in the first place so you could make that transition. So it kind
okay.
of, you know, frees people up. There was another example I had of a person that we knew, oh, man, it was about a year ago. And she asked, you know, she says, well, okay, you know, she had this job she was doing, you know, says, but she was a jewelry maker. Well, I really want to do this, you know, and she was very in tune, you know, kind of like you are. And she was just like, okay, well, you know, help me progress and do this. And she went into work the next day and got fired. And then she was like a little bit panicky, you know, was like,
right.
I just lost my job, you know. And by Friday she was going, and, you know, she had so many, you know, jewelry orders, and it's like, okay, this is going to fly. So that's how quick things can happen.
That
you know,
was very fast,
what you
yeah.
ask for, because it's going to happen, okay?
Okay.
So be careful what you ask for, because it's going to do.
That's
and it might
great.
Not be what
that's
you
great.
Necessarily expect.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay, and let's see here. I was looking for more stuff, Rita, for the love life stuff here. I'm going to look real quick at the hearts there. The two hearts you got is the three and the eight, and that's the pair. That's the Jupiter, or that's the Pluto and the result card. And see what the challenges are, really, that you've set yourself for this year in terms of relationship. Okay, it's likely to be a time of variety and experimentation in your love life and social life. It may be just that, you know, you might be just getting back into the dating scene again, whatever, and you just kind of want to discover what kind of relationship is best for you. And it might mean dating many different people, and that could be something that's challenging, you know, or new for you. Or on the other hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're in some sort of situation romantically or socially where your interests are divided between two or more people, just coming to some sort of decision is how to handle this, you know, is your major challenge for the year. So it often occurs, I'm not going to read that one. Never mind. So, yeah, some of the stuff is like, I'm not going to read that on air. It's like, there is no way I'm saying that out loud. It's like, okay. But anyway, to access the most positive levels of this influence, See yourself meeting new and interesting people and learning to express your feelings more clearly to everyone that's special to you. The result card, you know, gives more details. Now, the affirmation is, I'm learning about what I really want in love and romance by expressing my feelings and being open to new relationships. So that's what the three is all about in terms of the Pluto. And then the result card being that eight, we'll take a look at that because this is the other half of the pair. An important aspect of the goals you've set for yourself this year is that of developing and using your charm and personal power with those around you. Developing this may not be easy as it may require important changes in the way you communicate. It will be, however, well worth the effort. You'll complete this year with people supporting your efforts to achieve your goals and dreams. You'll also know that you can handle the public with ease. And the affirmation for that one is, I develop power among my friends, associates, and the public. I accumulate personal love power this year. So both of those are, you know, making the decision. It's like you may not be dating somebody right now, but you may end up either, God forbid, going to the bingo halls, you know, wherever it is.
Never
you,
been there.
Maybe to those weekend seminars. You
this
know,
year I did buy lottery tickets, but which I rarely do, but no bingo halls.
No bingo halls. There you go. But it is the year of looking at, you know, of looking at, you know, love, you know, God, oh man, they give me this cheesy country, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay, fine, so she can go to a spiritual workshop. Everybody happy now. Jeepers.
But yeah, you never know where. That's the thing. It could be, know. You know. I once dated a guy who was charming. He didn't live in California, but he was here on business for a long extended time, and he knocked on the wrong door, and that's how we met. So when people say he can't come to your door, I just want them to know that that is totally wrong. Not to say you shouldn't go out and mingle, but I'm telling you, you
right.
never have any clue how it would happen. And here was the funny thing.
Don't
I was living.
He had a pink bow tie, did he?
No pink bow tie, but he was cute as all heck. And this was a good while back. And I was playing some classical music, and I used to be a classical dancer. So I was dancing.
Oh, wow.
And there was, I lived off to in the in-law unit, and there was a yard area, and he didn't know, and then there was the main house, and he didn't know which door to go to, but he said he stood in the breezeway, and he could see me dancing through the window, and that absolutely charmed him. So, you know, he asked me on a date. I was fully dressed, but... you know,
that's
I was
good.
Doing twirls and leg lifts and all of that, and so you never know. It's
true.
And he was absolutely one of the most charming, intelligent people I've ever met. So,
wow. Why wasn't he a keeper? Dang it! Oh, because he was
You know, he moved back near Washington, not a place that interests me.
Right.
Yeah. He had he had graduated medical school, and he said where all the action was for him was right out of D.C., right around D.C. and outside of D.C.
Oh, you meant Washington, D.C. Oh, I don't blame you on that one. I was thinking Washington State's not that bad. They have apples.
No,
you know?
No. D.C., Washington, D.C. No, he said that's where the action
that's
is.
Okay.
I don't think there's too much action in Washington State, but rain, I don't know. No offense to people in Washington State.
Right. Crime capital USA. Yes, we understand. Anyway.
You know, but anyway, you know, he was just, no, but he said that's where, you know, that was, for him and his mindset, that was the center of power and where he was going to make money. So that's where he wanted to be.
Yeah, where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
Darn.
So thank you so much. I'm sure the other people want their turn, and I don't want to hog up all the time, but thank you so much. Casey, you've been wonderful.
Well, call back in again, you know, come and join us in our chat room. You know, it's like we'd love to have you back on, and you know, let us know how the year progresses. You know, because
okay,
you say it's like some of the things. I don't know if you have a pet, you know, something like that, or what your transitions are going to be. But really and truly, it's like I would say probably, you know, good bets for you would be in terms of, you know, going to the of course, you've probably been to a bunch of the spiritual development classes and that kind of stuff, but maybe you have enough that you can, you know, host your own, you know, and
yeah.
you know, put out your own trifold brochure or something. Or
no, I
share,
haven't.
You know,
it probably is
yourself,
time for
you know?
Me to do that. Yeah, no, it probably is time for
yeah.
me to, you know, to do. I was in school, so I'm living my life backwards, so it makes no sense, but I just graduated college.
Hey, that's a good way to be. You sound like you're Mork from Ork. Remember that one back when? They lived their life backwards, too. They were born old, and they got young, and they finally disappeared in a gleam of light. Remember that? You're Ork, we got it now, okay.
No, I mean, I went to school with all these young people, but the good thing is that the campus I was at had a lot of older people and people that come back to school because they're always improving themselves.
Right.
So that, you know, so that it was like, oh, we're all students. It didn't matter what age you were, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, Casey. You're a doll.
All righty. Well, you are too. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling
thank
in today.
You.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have
it's
a good
been
one.
Fun.
Thank you. It
Bye.
Has. Bye-bye.
Bye. All righty, and thank you. 720 and 631, hang in there, guys. And 720, you are next. Who am I talking to today? Oops, 720. Uh-oh, 720 popped out. It's like I put them on live and they dropped. Dang. All righty, well, let's see here. Okay, 631. How about 631? Can we get you in?
Yes, hi. My name is Suzanne.
Suzanne?
Yes,
all righty.
Well,
what I need is your month and your date and your current age.
10/5 and I'm 53.
10/5 and you're 53. Okay, 10/5. So we're 5th. You are a 4 of diamonds and you've got an 8 of hearts as your planetary ruler. So let's see. Did you have a particular question or just kind of want a general reading?
Well, what do you see with love life?
Love life, all righty. That's always a good one. Okay, let's look at your 4 diamonds. And, well, no, actually, first I'm gonna do what I did here first. I'm slowly getting this down here to where I'm a little more organized. Okay, your planetary ruling periods here. So we're going to look at that first, and I'm going to give you this because, you know, you can go back that way and, you know, look at this again. In archives. So your Mercury time frame, of course, started, you know, at your birthday. Your Venus time frame started November 26th and ran for 52. Mars started January 18th. Okay, and that's passed. Now your Jupiter time frame started March 11th. Okay, and that is still going. So you're actually in a really, you know, the middle of your year here, but you're in the blessed time of year, or as Ron told us earlier, the expansion time. So it's like Bonnie's going, yeah, we got to go to the gym and work out. Anyway, and then Saturn starts May 2nd, that time frame, and the Uranian time frame starts June 23rd, and then your Neptune is August. Okay, so those are the days and times. So we're going to start and kind of look at, I'll give you all your cards, and then we'll kind of look at when your Jupiter, what's happening from Jupiter onwards here, I guess I'll put it that way. Okay, let's go back to 4 of diamonds and seeing where you are at this year. And yours, okay, what I will say is the 52nd year, that was one of those years where, yeah, I don't know, I'm getting all kinds of commentaries, you know, it's like it's a sink or swim year. Yes, it is. The 52nd year is really the time when you decide to either fully engage, you know, in this life, and you're gonna row the boat, you know, so to speak, or whether you're just gonna kind of stick up the sail, put on your life preserver, and just kind of drift along. So it's like, yeah, that was and that, you know, you have those opportunities any year, you know, to reform and do and say, you know what, I'm tired of drifting. It's like I'm just gonna, you know, get on board here and, you know, start rowing a little bit. Okay, so for your 52nd year here, you've got, or excuse me, 53rd, sorry about that. The long range card is 7 of spades, and that is, it's called the card of faith. So, yeah, have a little faith and love will come to you. Thank you, guys. Anyway, I've got a bunch of smart alecks that are saying really cutesy things. I'm going, yeah, you know, maybe I should just put them out. It's like someday we're going to be able to listen to the ectoplasm and they can all just have their say. Okay, your Mercury time frame. You had the Jack of Diamonds and the 6 of Hearts. Let's see, 6s are always karmic in nature. And with that heart, it's like likely something, you know, happened was short time, Mercury is like mercurial happenings. They happen and it, you know, happens for a short time. So anyway, something karmic there, but also Jacks are very creative. The Venus time frame, you had a nine of clubs and a king of hearts. So there's mastering, you know, your own emotions, that kind of stuff. And there is a change. It's like as, you know, as one door closes, you know, another opens. But it's about communications with different things. In Mars, dealing with men. Now there you've got, oh my goodness, you've got the king of spades and you've got the jack of spades. The king of spades is really one of those where, you know, not only are you going to row your own boat or be the captain of your own ship, but it's like you built that ship, you know, literally stick by stick, you know, every stick in it. And, you know, you really, you know, have the ability, if you want to sail off and do what you want to do. Okay. The Jack gives it, you know, gave a lot of creativity to that. Now we come to Jupiter, where you're the Four of Spades and the Eight of Clubs. Now, the Eight of Clubs is one of the most psychic cards in the deck. The Four of Spades indicates, you know, a lot of work. It can be called the workaholic card. But, you know, you're really wanting to have some stability. And we'll come back and talk about that in a little bit here, because that's right where you're at right now. Let's see, your Saturn time, you've got a Two of Hearts, which is, now that's the Lover's card, and that's, you know, Union of Hearts, along with an Ace of Spades, or Ace of Clubs there. Clubs are, they are the scholars of the deck. It's, you know, starting things new, and it is about communication. The Spades, the Eight of Clubs and I think the Ace of Clubs, I think both of those are either the fixed, you know, one is the Eight of Clubs is a fixed card, and the Ace is like what they call the semi-fix. And it's like, and those two as a pair, that's very interesting with Saturn. Now, the Uranian time frame, you've got a Four of Hearts there, which is what's called the minor marriage card. And you have what our previous caller wanted. You've got the infamous Queen of Hearts there in your displacement, along with the Four of Hearts. So you've got, you know, you've got two of the marriage cards there in place this year. I'll just put it that way. So yeah, that explains a lot of the, you know, want to have some romance here. And then Six of Clubs. Okay, you've got that in the Uranian time frame. Anytime things in Uranus can be unexpected. You know, it's like unexpected, you know, breath of fresh air. It's the planet that rules Aquarius, so you can have a lot of, you know, unexpected, interesting things happen anyway. Now, Neptune, you've got a Five of Spades, which is the card of the Wanderer, and that, you know, could be a geographical relocation, you know, either possibly for work or for a relationship or something, but at any rate, it's going to be a lot of restlessness happening at that point in time. And any of these can be, you know, as I said earlier, kind of like what I call a watercolor wash. It can influence you, you know, in a minor way, or, you know, you get the effects of it all year, but it's just more intense in the actual time frame that it shows in. Now, with that, again, that Seven of Spades, for your long range, but you've also, now here you've got, with your pair, you've got Pluto, you've got a King of Diamonds, and you've got a Seven of Hearts. King of Diamonds is that businessman's card. And somehow or other you set up, you know, your challenge for yourself as maybe being your own entrepreneur or, you know, being your own business person. And the result is really interesting because that, with that, combined with that Seven of Hearts, that's, you know, having faith and, you know, letting love come to you type of thing. But it's also, anytime we're challenged like that, because I always look at the odd number cards are always a little more challenging. You know, they're, you know, they've got a lot of creativity, they've got a lot of restlessness, you know, but they're always seen as a little bit more challenging. Whereas the even number cards are the ones that kind of, you know, even us out, you know, keep us on an even keel, you know, that kind of stuff. But with that, it's also a challenge to kind of let people be as they are and really accepting them as they are without trying to change them. So somehow or other, it's like whatever you're doing, either with business or being in business for yourself, there's either with someone, there might be a partner, you know, with you who's going to, you know, be challenging for you or something, you know, but it's like if you're doing what you love, the money will follow. There's a book title, okay? Then you also have, as an environment card, you have a Five of Diamonds. And again, that's restless energy. It's, you know, restless with your finances. It's like really wanting to find some new places, I'll say, you know, creativity. But you might, again, you might end up possibly relocating, or else, you know, finding a business office or doing something instead of out of your home, you might actually have an office. And then there's placement. There you go. There's the Queen of Hearts right there, which is a marriage card. So going back through here a little bit, by the way, has any of this making any sense? Is any of this making any connections in real time for you?
Sort of. I'm starting a new job, and I also have a part-time job. But so a full-time job and a part-time job. But I'm looking, when do you see the love thing? I don't understand all that. When?
When. Okay, that's always the big thing is the when. In the Saturn time frame, is when that Two of Hearts first shows up. And that is, okay, let me look at that one. And that was October, okay. Look in that one again. Saturn, your Saturn time frame does not start until May 2nd. So I would give it, you know, what is this? Well, we're in April right now, middle of April. So I'd say, you know, the Saturn time frame goes from May 2nd until June 22nd. So, you know, I'll give it, you know, I'll say a couple weeks before, you know, this might really come into, you know, your sphere of doing stuff, you know, but I'm going to say that anything that comes in as relationship-wise would be after that time, you know, it would be starting May 2nd or, you know, and beyond. It's like, and that doesn't mean you're going to meet that person that day, you know, but it just means it gives you a 52-day time frame. Now, it does, after that 52 days, when you go into the Uranian time frame, that's where the Four of Hearts is, where it's, you know, a little more solid. And that is, okay, that was June 23rd when that was, you know, so your, you know, love interest stuff is, I'm going to say it's going to be upcoming in these, you know, like from, May, June, July, something like that. Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Someone.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Going to meet somebody new or just.
Now that part, you know what, let me take a look at the other cards that's associated with that, because you've got two of them. In Saturn, you've got the Two of Hearts, and you've got the Ace of Spades, or not, I keep trying to say spades, it's the Ace of Clubs. Okay, there we go. Two of Hearts with the Ace of Clubs, and I know that's always an interesting pairing, that is. Okay, and that's in Saturn. Let's see here. See, now that in the Saturn period, it could bring you a karmic relationship. You know, you might have a close friend or a person who needs, you know, your help to battle either an illness or burden, but it may in turn become a burden for you. However, any intimate affairs or romantic affairs begin now will likely have a faded quality about them, and they're likely to be challenging in one or more ways. You may be learning about, you know, responsibilities that goes along with love, or just your, you know, how you personally express, you know, romance. But the net result of lessons in love is going to be more maturing for you, which is the old frame is like, you know, experience is what you got when you didn't get your way. Okay. So if if it doesn't turn out to be the love of your life, it's like you're going to come away with some more knowledge, some more information, you know, either about yourself, about how you are in relationships. And the thing I will say is, don't let relationships, you know, no matter how they turn out, don't let them turn you bitter. You know, don't get upset enough. You go, wow, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, because that defeats the whole purpose. You know, you got to kind of look at it and go, okay, that was a thundercloud. Now, where's the silver lining and what did I learn out of this? And it's like, and sometimes,
well, okay,
I mean,
what was the marriage card
relationships
then?
Where you go, what's that?
What was the marriage card mean then?
Okay, the marriage cards. Okay, let's take a look at those. It means, you know, you have the desire to be, you know, either in a relationship, a loving relationship. I want to look at the second one, though, because with that Two of Hearts, you also had the Ace of Clubs. And like I said, I'm pretty sure that's, you know, that's one of those ones that, okay, it's a desire for knowledge, you've been in the beginning of new mental occupation, but it might bring an unwelcome letter or news, or from a sick person, so this goes along with the other one. Unfulfilled desires for knowledge or unrealized goals are possible. Projects, plans, or ideas that begin now are going to be challenging, are going to require more work than imagined. Success requires a serious and determined education. So, you know, either doing things halfway or sporadically does not work. To realize either educational goals or communication goals, you really have to be self-disciplined and focused, because under Saturn, it's going to be a lot of work. Distractions and a lack of focused effort in that regard. Okay, let's see. And that's, you know, and that could be, okay. let me look at your four. I'm going to look at the Four of Hearts, and then we'll look at the Queen of Hearts, because the Four of Hearts, like I said, comes in that Uranian time frame. And somehow the affair is dealing with the other one. So it's a 4-0, and it's a 6 of clubs. So the 6 is another one of those karmic cards. So we'll look at both of those as a pair. It could have something to do with, you know, marriage, a home, a house, or the attainment of satisfaction in your life. Under the Uranian time frame, Four of Hearts could bring an unexpected or unusual marriage. It's like Bonnie has this whole thing on dating. It's like you ought to listen to some of the things that she has, you know, to say about, you know, make sure you date that person first, you know, but with spiritual overtones. So, you know, it could be an unusual either dating or, you know, unusual marriage, but there are spiritual overtones, or an unusual social or romantic involvement. Your work sphere could be a source of happiness. You could make satisfactory real estate deals under this influence. Relationship with coworkers are likely to be friendly and satisfying. Also indicates, I don't know, if you're, are you married now or you're single now?
No, I've been single for a long time. That's why I'm wondering.
Okay. When is this person, okay, going to come in? Okay.
Yeah, that's really, yeah.
Right, okay. Let's see. It's this one is just a strongly grounding force that is going to bring satisfaction this period, regardless the other card is. Okay, let's look at the other card and just kind of balance that out a little bit. That 6 of clubs. Okay, with the 6 of clubs, and again, like I say, those 6s are always the karmic cards. And they're always, you know, things are, sometimes you feel like it's dragging me down this way, even though I'm not sure I wanted to go. It could be a period of heightened intuition and sensitivity. If you choose, you could apply those gifts to work, you know, with good results. Or if you're feeling content with yourself, you know, you might not choose to do that with those available gifts. But in any event, it's going to be a period of steadiness in your work life. Especially if you're willing to make a few compromises with friends and associates to kind of keep the peace. Tuning into your subtle thoughts and feelings. You know, this is your time for intuition, hunches. You know, you can make a strong connection to exactly what your life's purpose is. So it's a purpose-finding time, and that may, you know, very well include another person. Okay, let's get to the Queen of Hearts as this placement. Let's see what she has to say with that. Because it is placement, yeah, I'm thinking, okay, it could have a lot of different, I mean, it could manifest in a lot of different ways, okay? And that depends on your personal situation. It also depends on your free will because, you know, I mean, what I always tell people is no matter what the cards say, I've seen, you know, it can be like poker, okay? You can, you know, people can win if they're a good bluffer with a pair of twos, and they can make somebody with a royal flush or whatever, you know, throw their hand in or with a better hand. So, you know, it just depends on whether you're the person playing with the twos and making it work or whether you're the person with the royal flush you threw their hand in, okay? So, you know, your cards can be fantastic, but, you know, it's always how you play your cards. It's like Kenny Rogers the gambler, right? Okay, thank you. Okay, so first of all, okay, all right. If you, I don't know if you've had children from a previous marriage, whatever, or you know, it's going to have some burdening effect.
Yeah, I did.
Require more time and energy. Okay, your grandma. Okay, you might have something to do with your children. Let's see. All right. On the positive side, yeah, it's like there's a lot of challenges, and it's like the challenges mostly deal with someone who's married. So it's not going to apply necessarily to you. But it brings great success actually in legal matters or any competitive enterprises of work that involve men or groups of men. Wow, okay. You can find that you achieve a certain amount of notoriety this year or more popularity among your peers. The Venus and Mars periods in particular should be quite wonderful. Okay, those are the ones that just got past there. And it's especially true if you have a clear direction and goals that you wish to achieve. And a lot of times used in this context and what it's with is this is more about, let's say, more about self-mastery. It's about self-mastery of your own emotions. And this is, okay, yeah, I'm just kind of listening. I'm just kind of dialing in here a little bit just to kind of see, I'll say, any input from the peanut gallery here. But it's a lot of things with your expectations. This is one of those times where you need to kind of sit down and I'll say, you know, either write a letter to God or letter to the universe or say, you know, this is what I would. 90 seconds. Okay, here we go. We'll still be on after it kicks us out. I'm going to say, hey, thank you to our chat room because if the blog does what it's been doing, it's like it'll kick you guys out. You know, my apologies. We have discovered if you can find the next day's show, it will like, you know, let you back in. But yeah, it's like other than that, it's like, thank you guys for being in chat. It's like, you know, we love you guys. Thanks for calling in. But in this case, I'm kind of sitting here with this a little bit. It's like right at what you expect, you know. And I would actually say there's I don't know if you know who Joel Osteen is, but if you go on YouTube videos, he's got one. If you type in Joel Osteen, I am, and it's like there's that one where there's like the words that follow I am, you know, and it's kind of like what our other caller had, you know, it's like, you know, I am spirit and spirit doesn't age. It's like that is a wonderful I am statement right there. So you can say things like, you know, I am attracting in the perfect person for me, or I am attracting in, you know, whatever is, you know, things like that. But it's like, it's, you know, if you, whatever follows those I am statements, make it really good, make it really positive. And it might be, I mean, there is some indication that, you know, there's things that you are going to have to, I'll say, work on, you know, it's like, and especially with that self-mastery of, you know, what do you expect? It's like, you know, if it's been a while since you've been in a relationship, you know, sometimes, man, that dating, it changes. And it's like, it's changed so much from when I was in high school. I mean, I graduated in 77. So,
well, I mean, yeah, I've gone on dates. I mean, I haven't been just sitting in a hole.
Right. Okay. Okay, there you go. Okay. So you've been out and about. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the positive thing. Okay. But you just really haven't found the person you kind of click with yet.
Right. Or I've clicked with them and they didn't want to click with me. I don't know. Both.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, what I will say then, and, you know, in terms of time and time frame, time-wise, I'll just say I would be looking for things to kind of pick up and happen after Saturn starts, the Saturn time frame, which is like that May 2nd time, you know, period. And into the Uranian time frame, which is like, you know, June 23rd, you know, something. So literally, you know, the spring and the summer, it's like, you know, hang in there, you know, it's like, you know, keep going on dates, you know, keep you know, that person is out there. And if you just, if you want to take the, I call it the universal shortcut, where, you know, you just kind of say, hey, can you just, like, you know, cut through the chaff here and just bring me the person there that, you know, is the correct person. It's like when you open it up like that, oh, yeah, that's a Bill Cosby one.
I just said
God
it.
Has some wonderful surprises. Yeah. God has some wonderful surprises when you open it up like that.
So what am I supposed to say it again? I'll say it now. What am I supposed to say?
You know, you just say, bring in the perfect person for me who is.
Just say bring in the
perfect
person.
Then for me who is meant to be in my life and I'm meant to be in their life in a positive, loving, beneficial way. Let's put that in there. In a positive, loving, and beneficial way. So that way, because otherwise sometimes you can bring things in that's like, well, that person is meant to be there because they're meant to teach you a lesson. It's like, all righty, that really wasn't what I had in mind. So, yeah.
All right, but I just
exactly.
said it. So, all right, I just said it. So hopefully, you know, I'll go to work at a gym tonight where I'm signing people
in
and somebody will ask me out.
I would actually put that on a note card and hang that on your bathroom wall and, you know, or bathroom mirror, and just, you know, make sure you kind of focus on it and say, okay, you know, this day, bring me this person who is, you know, whatever. And then when you think you find them, you know, you can turn the card over and you don't have to keep saying it, you know, when you're actively dating somebody. But it's like until they actually, you know, come there, it's like, or you can make it that, you know, if you've seen The Secret, you can make it the thank you statement. It's like, thank you that you have brought me, you know, the person who is for my, there we go, for my best, highest, most positive, beneficial good in a loving relationship where, you know, we are both mutually, it's a mutual benefit to both of us in a positive, loving way. So, you know, things like that. Come back in archives and listen to it, yeah.
All right, thank you so much, okay?
You can download those and it's like, get those, absolutely.
All right, thank you.
You betcha. Have a good one. Let us know how it goes. I can say it'll be interesting to see what your summer brings. All righty. Okay. Well, and guess what? 720. You made it back in. So you know what? I know we have a little bit of time here. So 720. Have we got you?
Hello. Hi. Yes. I don't know how I was hung up before, but
because Blog Talk has been kicking people off for us. That's I got booted out of chat room today. Tell you what, it's like it's okay. they have no discriminatory bounds. They just kick out people randomly. So yeah, we've been having this. We usually tell people if it logs you off, call back in, log back in, whatever. It's like we're sorry, because we have no control over any of it. It's like it's kind of on Blog Talk.
Thank you. And what I'm hoping you can look for me to see is, can you tell when do you see me getting my own apartment or townhome, condo, whatever? Like, when do you see that happening?
All right. First of all, and I work totally off the cards here. So what I need is just give me your month and your day, and I'll see what card you are. And then from there, you can tell me what your current age is, and we'll look up and see.
Okay. I am 813, and I'm 39.
813. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You are a Leo and you're king of clubs twice as a lady. Oh, my goodness. You are running your own show. Wow. Alrighty. And that's, I'll say right up front, that is one of those, any for any woman who is a king of any of the suits, a lot of guys find it really hard. Guys, unless they're willing to be like, play the queen position or play the supporting position for you, because literally you like to be in charge. You do.
Yes, definitely.
No, not here, not there. It's like, yep, that's just where it's at, and it's okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, I totally understand that. I've been a single parent long enough. It's like, I happen to myself.
Yes, that is so true.
39. Okay, your own apartment. What I see is you've got two fives. Okay, you've got one in your Saturn time frame, and you've got one in the Uranian time frame. And let me look those up here really quick and just see where your year is at and where you're at in your year. Because with that eight, I'm thinking you're further along in your eight time frame here. Let's see. And what is that? That's eight of, let's see, no, that's September. Come on, let's get into August here. Okay, 8-13. Okay, so your year looks like this. Okay, of course, the Mercury time frame starts, and then Venus starts October 4th. Mars is November 25th. Jupiter started January 17th. Your Saturn time frame started March 10th. The Uranian time frame won't start until May 1st. And then last but not the least is Neptune. It starts June 22nd, and then it goes until your birthday again. So right now you're actually in the Saturn time frame, and you've got about 2 weeks left in that until Uranian's time frame starts May 1st. So you're in Saturn. You're in that one. And let's see here. The cards that are there, okay, so you're right in that. So that's why you've got that desire to move. You've got the Five of Spades and the King of Diamonds in your Saturn time frame, and then you've got the Five of Diamonds and the Nine of Diamonds in the Uranian time frame, and the Nine of Diamonds continues on into Neptune, and then for the whole year, wow, you've got a lot of things ending and happening. You've had a lot of transitions this year, if you're getting into it, because with that Ace, starting new things with finances, but you've got Pluto card is the Nine of Hearts, and the Result card is the Nine of Clubs. And then you've got the Magi card, you've got the Ace of Spades as your Environment card. Wow, so, a lot of transformations for you this year. With that card of the Wanderer, that Five, being in Saturn, I'm going to look up both those, because you've got the Five of Spades and you've got the King of Diamonds. So we're going to look at Five of Spades, like I say, because that's, any of the fives, because it gives you that restless energy and it gives you that impetus to move. So that's, that's always ongoing there. Okay, it could be now, and there could be some health issues or a journey caused by somebody's illness might cause you to change your job or your home during that time period. A change in career work is going to involve more work and some problems. It might be unavoidable, but, you can just, go ahead and go through it. Changes can bring more harm than good, though you may not be able to avoid them. They're necessary for other reasons. It can represent a change in your own health condition, for better or worse, or a visit to the doctor. This would not be a good time to take a vacation or travel, so try to schedule trips, either before or after that time frame. The only exception is if you have a really strong card as the other Saturn card, which is that King of Diamonds. And I want to look at what the King of Diamonds has to say for you. Because, see, that is the, you know, that's the businessman's card. And in Saturn, it's though financial success is attainable, you might not feel it's worth the amount of effort and difficulty in order to attain it. Because if you have your own business, it's especially true. See yourself laying the foundation for future successes. The problems you work with now are going to set the stage for more expansion and prosperity later. Any diamonds men in your life may assume a teaching role with you, or they could become burdensome. And just kind of look out for men of the diamond suit, especially those who are older or in positions of authority or responsibility, because they could prove troublesome or burdensome in some way.
Yeah, I'm actually getting rid of one,
yeah.
So I filed for divorce from him, and so I'm not even thinking about
okay,
the next
okay, there
yet.
You go. That's that one. So you got some wrestles and some changes, and I'm going to look at that. We're going to look at that five of diamonds and nine of diamonds in Uranian time frame. You know, because like I say, the five of spades is, you know, a change of the lifestyle or living location, you know, long term or change of job. So, you know, there's an indication, you know, for both of these is that, you know, that restless energy is there. So it's like it's probably coming soon. You know, especially if you're out actively looking at it. The five in the Uranian time frame, it's a strong influence for change of residence or business, perhaps unexpected. It can indicate purchase or sale of real estate, can also indicate journey over land for business. It can make changes in the way you do business, in personnel or location are beneficial now. Just a minute. I'm going to shut my stuff off here. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. Getting a lot of
no problem.
Right. Yeah, Skype me. Don't Skype me yet. I'm sorry. I'm going to say the strongest influence for the change of residence or business in an unexpected way is going to be in that Uranian time frame. So that's going to be, I'll say May 1st maybe, you know, sometime May 1st in the next 52 days. So it's like it would be May into that June time frame. So that sounds like that might be, you know, that might more of a thing, especially because you've got a nine of diamonds there with it also. I'm going to look up that nine here really quick because nine is always, you know, an ending of one type of thing or completion. Now, you might have, okay, in the Uranian time frame, it could bring financial disappointment or loss in real estate or a labor-related area. Could be loss of your job or loss connected with employees and some, you know, whatever. This is the time to avoid speculative and quick money deals, okay? Long-term investments are good. But just be careful there. Read the fine print. And influence brings some financial problems in the usual sense, but there's also promise of great success for those who are giving their time and resources to charitable causes, okay? The basic meaning of this is your ending of something that you value, okay? Something you wanted to work for in the past has now outlived its usefulness in your life and is passing away. So if you're, you know, conscious of that it's an end of a cycle, you're going to be able to, you know, let go of it and move ahead and look to the future things for better things to come. It's a really good influence for spiritual matters, learning new spiritual information, attending classes, and just keep in mind that, the other card is if it was an even number, well, you know, offsets anything. But it's like the fact that it's a five, you know, it's going to say, okay, it's, you know, back to what the five had to say with, more likely for residential changes. So, you know, like I said, I would look for, it's like, you know, you might have something coming up, you know, getting your apartment, whatever, but I would actually look for it from like May 2nd through June, you know, whatever it was in that Uranian time frame. And you've also got the nine of diamonds in the Neptune time frame too. So it's like, you know, it kind of carries forward into there. But yeah, at any event, environment, I want to look up that Ace of Spades. Because that's anytime those show up, it's like that's always, I'll just say, a significant one. That's a big one because that's the card that represents the whole deck. It's like, and it's, I look at it, you know, it's the Phoenix card. It's like, you know, it's a death of one type. You know, it's like you're dying to one way of life, but it's like being reborn and, you know, the ash, rise up out of the ashes again. And that is, okay, that is the environment. Okay, that's your environment card, which is actually your blessed card. It's a year of new beginnings. in health, work, or other important lifestyle areas is going to bring you much in the way of blessings and happiness. And it's one of the best influences under which to start a new business or job. But the beginnings that you experience this year could go on even deeper levels for you. Your very lifestyle could be undergoing a transformation. Just, you know, rest assured that any changes are going to be extremely positive in nature. So, you know, whatever, you know, again, it's like, you know, you may have some rough, choppy surface waters, but on the other hand, it's like ultimately, you know, everything underneath there that's going on, it's like you'll pop out and go, wow. It's like, you know, I wasn't really expecting that, you know, the pothole in the road, but it brought me here. So it's like, you know, ultimately
yeah.
it's going to be very positive changes for you. So, yeah. That's a good
cool,
thing to know.
Cool.
That's a really good thing to know.
Definitely. It really is. Because it makes all the difference in the world.
So thank you
yeah.
so much.
All righty. Well, you're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate
Definitely.
It.
Definitely. Love you guys' show. And I hope Bonnie feels
oh,
better.
Thank you for listening. And this will be an archive, so like, you know, basically give them about 2 or 3 minutes to process or whatever, and this will be in archive, so you can go back through and listen to it and get, because I know even though I had, you know, I just had a few of you guys today, I still tend to talk really fast, so my apologies. You can go back.
No problem, I
can
follow
That'll
completely.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
You betcha. Have a good one. Take care.
You too. Bye.
And call us back and let us know. Let us know how stuff ends out. Because, you know, be interested to know when
will.
You get that new apartment. That'd be
yes,
awesome.
Me too. And the business, because that's coming after that. So.
Yes, it is.
It's all coming
Absolutely.
Along.
All righty. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again.
Sure. Okay. Bye.
Bye. All righty, and that is us for today. Let's see. I'm going to end with something really cute here. We're going to do a little bit of Monster Mash because I like Monster Mash. Just because it's fun.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Dracula and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Drac's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drac's a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent
you. Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Man,
easy, Igor. You
Let's see. Whoops, here we go. Try that one a little bit better now. We're going to be here tomorrow. I believe it's Leslie is going to be on tomorrow, and she is absolutely amazing and phenomenal. And then Friday, there's going to be Amy with her mermaid cards, and I'm not sure if Peg is coming on with us this Friday or not. I know Peg's is like in the middle of getting packed and moved and stuff, so it's like if she can be on with us, I think she probably will. But anyway, we have next week coming up on Tuesday, we have a gentleman who is a psychic detective. And then Bonnie's really pushing this one. One of our, actually a rare Saturday show moment is going to happen in May. May 31st is what she said it was. I haven't looked at the calendar, so I'm trusting that May 31st is a Saturday. And it's going to be Bonnie, who is a psychic lawyer. And I'm like, all righty, I'll bet that guy wins every case. So anyway, this is awesomeness happening, and we will see you guys all again. Thank you so much to our listeners and the people who call in. It's like, you guys, really, you make our shows. So without you, we wouldn't have anybody to talk to. Alrighty, make sure you guys catch Ron's first part, the planetary. He does the astrology and planetary stuff in the beginning, and the guy, he's amazing. He's just absolutely amazing. And anyway, we will see you again tomorrow. We are always on at from 1 to 3 p.m. on the days that we're on, Eastern time. So, you know, take that across the board all the way to Pacific time. It ends up being 10 to noon Pacific time. So, you know, come on, check us out. Call in if you and you know, we apologize. I'm going to apologize again for Blog Talk. It drops people out of the queue, and it kicks people out of chat. It kicked me out of chat today, so bear with it, and we'll see you guys again.